The Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is the Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to the Chaser Report with Dom and Giles. Now, it is Tuesday, Wednesday, what is it? I don't know, fucking Thursday or whatever. It's about 7 p.m. I'm already in my pajamas. I'm not fucking doing an episode for today. So what I have suggested to everyone, and they have agreed because they are wonderful people, is that what we should do is we should look back to a time when I was absolutely completely right about everything. We're going to do a rerun of the Ocean Gate Titan episode, where days before anyone else, I predicted exactly how it would go down. Now, keep in mind, this episode went to air even while it was like Schrodinger's Ocean Gate. It was Schrodinger's submarine. We did not know what had happened to this submarine, whether they were alive, whether they're dead. Nothing was known. And yet, somehow, like always, I was completely right. Here we go.
Now, Charles, you've got some news for us. What's happening?
Okay, so there's the horrible, tragic, but very gruesomely fascinating story of the submarine that is stuck somewhere.
Oh, you're not going to do that. It's
looking.
It's in the balance.
We're not doing jokes about dead people.
Let's point out that as we record this, it's in the balance. We don't know whether it's going to be found. Yeah. There's apparently still air.
I think it's going to remain in the balance for a few weeks, Dom.
By the time you hear this, it may have been resolved one way or the other. But how are we to know? How are we to know?
But look, I don't want to focus too much on gleefully talking about, you know, people being brought down there by their own hubris. But I do want to say, I think that this story is just almost the example of the perfect modern metaphor. You know how the Titanic was a metaphor for 1912, you know?
Sure.
So you had thousands of people boarding this boat and all the poor people then drowned. You know, because it was this sort of gilded age and that's what you did to poor people. This submarine, the details of this submarine is fascinating, right?
Let's get onto that right after this.
Okay.
And see if Charles can bring it back.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So there's five people on board this submarine, which I think is very much like nowadays. Like, we've got this billionaire class who get to do things that nobody else does. Like, whereas in 1912, at least the poor people got to get on the disaster.
Did. Yes, now it's silly mini vehicles like Jeff Bezos's Blue Horizon, Branson's Virgin Galactic, which has already been cancelled, by the way, and then this mini sub going down to look at the Titanic. Didn't James Cameron already establish the blow the trays of obscenely rich people going down to gawk at a graveyard?
But this is to commoditize it and make it into a sort of tourism for billionaires, basically.
Of course.
And there wasn't just one. It was widely reported that there was one billionaire on board. It wasn't. There were two billionaires on board and arguably three, right? Which is, so there was that British billionaire that everyone knows about. The second billionaire was a Pakistani oil magnate, right, who last year they cleared $46 billion or something through their company. So, you know, not doing too badly.
Sure.
He'd brought his son along, who arguably is also a billionaire, or at least a billionaire heir, right? And then the other two people on board were the experts. I mean, one was the CEO of the ocean liner, and then the other one was a scientist explorer guy, right? So it's essentially, instead of just having sort of thing that everyone gets to thing. It was very much, I think it's very metaphorical that it's just literally billionaires and experts were the only people who were even allowed to board this floating metaphor, it's actually sinking metaphor.
It's quite extraordinary, isn't it, to think, I hadn't quite viewed it in these terms until now, Charles, that you've You've got people going and gawking on a watery mass grave,
yes,
and thereby potentially consigning themselves to a to an elite grave.
Oh, it's
so not a mass grave, a tiny little billionaires and experts only grave, potentially.
It is Titanic too, and what the great thing is James Cameron gets to make a sequel. Like, I mean, it's just, it writes itself. And also, can you imagine, like, there will now be tourists wanting to go and view Titanic 2.
Both grave sites.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, man.
So it's just going to keep going. Like, I think this has got another 100 years to play out on, this story. I want to talk about the CEO of this whole Ocean Gate Enterprise. Right.
So is this the CEO of the business to try and get more people to go on mini sub tours of Titanic?
Yeah, yeah. His name's Stockton Rush, right?
And great name.
Great name. Great name, except maybe if you're wanting to sort of be an attention to detail person and not rush on.
I imagine, but, like, a fast talking Josh Brolin will play him in the adaptation.
Oh, no, he is the Elon Musk of the sea, this guy. Like,
oh, wow.
Give
Elon 5 years and Elon Musk will be the Elon Musk of the sea. But anyway,
he gave this wonderful report interview on CBS last year where he was just laughing at how unsafe the whole thing was. One detail that's come out just in the last 24 hours or so is that the safety concerns, you know, there were details, things like, so the window, there's one window in this little submersible vessel, right at the front.
Yeah, right.
So you have to, if you go on it, you pay $250,000 US to go on this submersible, and then you've got to take turns in looking out onto the Titanic or wherever.
Really?
You
so
are.
That just, you pay and, a quarter of a million dollars for a tiny porthole you got to share.
Yes. And then there's cameras on the outside. So most of the time you just spend looking at the screen.
Well, I mean, every modern experience has to involve screen time, doesn't it? It's more real than seeing it with your own eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the window that Stockton Rush put in, the manufacturer of this window refused to safety rate it beyond depths of 1,300 metres.
Mm.
And this submersible has to go down 4,000 metres. So it's like three times as deep as what it was safely able to do. So
yes, am I right in thinking detail that underwater pressure escalates in a non-linear fashion? So the deeper you go, it's not as though it's three times more pressure. It's dramatically more pressure than that.
I read this fascinating thread written by engineers about the engineering sort of, like, the catastrophe that underwater represents, right? Which is, so they were asking this astrophysicist engineer, like, who does space things, what the pressures were, and he said, "Oh, it's nothing like space is so much easier than the sea, because with air pressure and the pressure on a vessel, you're dealing in space with pressures between one atmosphere, which is what humans can survive in, and zero atmospheres. You've actually only got a little bit of pressure to worry about. And actually, all the pressure is coming from the inside, which is really easy to manage. With undersea vessels, when you get to those depths, you're under, it's something like 700,000 tons of pressure or something per square inch. It's some ridiculous amount of pressure. But the whole thing is that if the structure starts to, you know, collapse, or it starts to sort of, you know, not be able to support that pressure, it becomes extremely complicated to model, because it gets crushed, right? And that's a sort of, it's a chaotic thing to happen. Like, it collapses in on itself. And so it's sort of almost impossible to model what will happen at these sorts of pressures.
So, Charles, I'm just reading about this at the NIAA website, the US kind of atmospheric body. They say that for every 10 metres you descend, there's an extra atmosphere's worth of pressure. So 4,000 metres...
Yes.
You're getting 4,000 times. And apparently whales can do it because their lungs collapse. But humans, not so much.
So the windows were added to 1,300. Now, I'd just like to pick up the metaphor idea here.
Sure.
Now, which is, okay, so thousands of people were allowed to board the original Titanic.
Yes.
And the poor people just didn't get a window. Whereas this time around, there is only one window. Not even the rich people get a window. It was such a shitty little experience. Anyway, and then the other great detail that this Stockton Rush guy said in the CBS interview last year was how he was boasting about how the whole vessel only has one button.
Wow.
And and they use a PlayStation controller. It's literally a Logitech PlayStation controller to steer the thing and stuff like that. Like, it's literally an off-the-shelf thing that you can buy at a computer store, which is actually built in. Somebody tracked down the exact model, built in 2005, and was actually originally developed for Windows Me. Do you remember?
I can't believe there's a relic of Windows Me that's Me. Lost. I mean, it's, yeah. the lives are sad, but that controller is the only Windows Me controller on the planet that still works.
Well, no, it's funny that actually, because there were gamers commenting on it, saying that that controller notoriously had a lot of drift.
Oh, no.
Who knows? Maybe they will turn up. They'll just be, like, you know, thousands of kilometres somewhere else because of the fucking controller. But but if they are found, so this is the thing. So, okay, obviously they've run into some troubles. They had the ability to release their safety weights, right, which means that they could slowly ascend to the surface, right, and they've got enough oxygen to survive, right, and that's why most of the rescue effort has been actually concentrating on will they be just floating somewhere. One of the problems that Stockton didn't think about is that the Atlantic there is incredibly choppy, very foggy, so the whole thing looks basically white. Right, like the sea is white because it's choppy, and the air is white because it's foggy. They painted the vessel white. It is a white vessel.
What a metaphor! I know. So it's invisible, essentially, is what you're saying. To
it's essentially
white, so even white. But I mean, very cool at a Puff Daddy party.
Yeah, yeah. So and apparently there's no. They didn't have a beacon. They didn't buy a beacon that could then, you know, be triggered.
Why would you need a beacon?
So, yeah. So it's just floating there. And the horrible, horrible fact, which I'm sure is metaphorical in some way that I haven't thought about it enough, is that they are bolted in. So the way you get into this vessel is you all get in, five of you get in, and then they have 14 massive bolts that they bolt you in with. And so there is no way for them to get out. So that even if they're bobbing along the surface, they'll be able to see the air, they'll be able to see the sky, or at least the fog, but not be able to get to
it. Because when you're paying $250,000 to go into an ocean vessel, you wouldn't want them to come up with any sort of quick release system.
Yes.
You know, that's not necessary. That's horrible.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report. Now with Extra Whispers.
Now, so, you know, you're probably thinking, well, it's a pity, but, you know, when you're innovating and when you're at the bleeding edge of things, you know, you do have to break things. You know, things do go wrong. There are risks. Everyone went in wide open. The only little tiny problem with that narrative is that actually what happened was that the head of marine safety of OceanGate in 2018.
I'm amazed they have one.
Well, they don't have one. Raised concerns about all these issues and a few others. Apparently there was a whole lot of flammable stuff. They were using flammable things on board, which is apparently a terrible thing to do in a submarine.
I think so.
And so he tried to raise the alert on all this, and Ocean Gate's CEO, Stockton Rush, sacked him, right? And then he had a prolonged lawsuit against Ocean Gate, and it was a whistleblower lawsuit, and part of the whole thing was part of the rest things that he was seeking, which he ultimately didn't get because Ocean Gate's lawyers were, you know, better funded than this poor whistleblower, was he wanted the customers, to be informed of all the safety problems with this vessel, like the rating of the, you know, the non-rating of the windows and the controller,
the bolts,
and the lack of beacon and the bolts and all that sort of stuff.
I mean, I think if I was bolted into a submarine, I'd pay $250,000 and I saw that it was being piloted with a Logitech gaming controller, I think I'd ask them to undo the bolts and get the fuck out of there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I would. Yeah. So anyway, so I just thought, like, presumably you'll hear a lot of stuff about this in the coming days.
And look, I hope they survive because I want to hear the story of what the hell it was like.
Yes. Oh, it would make a brilliant – I mean, it'll make a brilliant horror movie either way, won't it? I mean, it's just – do you suffer from claustrophobia? I'm the world's worst claustrophobic.
I don't normally, but I think this would be the experience that made me realise I had it. I mean, being bolted into this tiny tin can – what do they do about going to the bathroom? I know it's an indelicate question, but are they just all basically shitting next to each other for 5 days?
Well, there is a small toilet, yes.
Right.
On the CBS thing, they show you where there's a little.
All right, so they can move around inside it. There's 14 bolts that keep them inside the vessel. I thought they were bolted into their chairs.
Oh no, they're bolted into the vessel. Right. No, it's like a minivan. It's about the size of a minivan, so they can move it. You can move around in it. Although apparently it's very uncomfortable because you've got to sit along the side, and the side is curved, so you sort of end up sort of crouching the whole time. So anyway, and I'll just leave you with this thought, which is that this comes a few days after you know how we were talking about fashions in killer whale colonies?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah. So the latest fashion in orca colonies is to attack rich yachts, right?
I've heard of this, yeah.
Yeah, so there's been several, you know, multi-million dollar fancy yachts who've been attacked in the last week.
Another metaphor.
Yes. But a pod of orcas was seen swimming just near submersible. just
knocking on
the
glass.
So I'm just saying there's a whole conspiracy theory angle to this that is yet to come out. But I think the orcas did it, Dom.
Wow. Well, an extraordinary episode this is. Charles, this has been fascinating. I didn't know all these details. I'm just looking at the New York Times website just to prove that they're not dead yet as we record this. And the top story on their live blog of the event, very big story on the New York Times website, industry leaders had significant concerns about Titanic tourist sub. And it's basically just explaining in detail that everyone thought it was a death trap, basically.
Look, if we're being a little bit sort of cynical about it, you know how, you know, there is an argument to say that billionaires shouldn't exist.
Sure. Well, they're doing their darndest.
It feels like they're doing their darndest. I think it might be a self-solving problem.
Well, give the orcas a chance. I don't know that I don't know that they're going to be able to bring down Jeff Bezos's $500 million yacht that he just every time I think about ordering Amazon now, I just remember Jeff Bezos's yacht and think I just can't give that man more money.
You can't.
But if anyone can bring them down, competitors can't do it. But I think the orcas might find a way.
Well, there you go. That's so I suppose my final point is, you know, as you hear all this all these theories over the coming weeks and the idea that, well, you know, they went in eyes wide open, I think the point is they didn't. Like, literally these customers, it was like they were being sold a Tesla and they weren't told that it keeps crashing and self-exploding on the road and stuff like that.
And I'm just remembering that Elon Musk offered those poor people stuck in the cave a mini submarine. Do you remember? That would be the one vessel that makes this one look seaworthy, I'm thinking. Just wait till Elon launches underwater Tesla. It'll come in.
I'm waiting for Elon to launch a ridiculous takeover offer for OceanGate any day now.
Yes, and surely he should be mounting a rescue mission for his fellow billionaires. Anyway, Charles, story.
He did actually tweet out that they're using Starlink internet to coordinate the rescue mission because it's the only internet you can get out in the middle of the Atlantic.
So that, and Charles, I just hope we don't have to take this episode down in a few hours when they find the submarine under very tragic circumstances with a telltale sort of orca signature.
Orca,
On the cracked glass.
I, for one, welcome our orca overlords.
Our gurus from Rogue, we're part of the Iconoclast Network, and that's all.
See ya.
Welcome, orcas.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.